The sequel to the movie 48 Hours has arrived. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
Is my memory deceiving me, or am I right in thinking that 48 Hours, I mean the original 1982 version, had some sharp, funny dialogue, and that Eddie Murphy, in his film debut, delivered it with a refreshing amount of sass? The laughs 8 years ago came from Murphy's burlesque of what it meant to be a black man in a white man's world. Murphy's performance somehow managed to acknowledge white sensibilities and turn them on their heads at the same time. In another 48 Hours, the laughs don't come from Murphy's wit or the screenplay's wit or from anywhere, really. The ones I heard in the theater invariably arrived when someone got unexpectedly punched or shot, always with the accompaniment of explosive noise on the soundtrack. This movie is an orgy of sodden macho attitudinizing. It's all about big, nasty guys with deep voices being menaced by bigger, nastier guys with even deeper voices. And bigger guns. In this picture, size counts. Meanwhile, the plot dies of sequelitis. Remember how in the first 48 hours, the renegade cop played by Nick Nolte had to spring Eddie Murphy from jail in order to catch Murphy's old partner in crime, a crazed killer? Well, now that crazed killer's brother has come to town with his biker friends, and he wants to kill Murphy and Nolte both. And besides, he's been hired to do the dirty work of a mysterious drug dealer called the Iceman. The moment Murphy is released from jail, this new gang of goons is hot on his trail, and so's Nolte, who wants Murphy's help in tracking them and the Iceman down. Murphy, of course, would rather just get on with his life, although in this scene, he can't help but notice Nolte's slightly used bulletproof vest.
If you're looking for sympathy, you come to the wrong person, okay? I'm supposed to be on my way to Florida to be in my uncle's used car business. Instead, I'm here with you. I'm broke. I've been shot at. I was in a bus that flipped over 20 times, had glass all in my hair and all over my suit, broke my Walkman and lost my James Brown tape. So leave me alone, okay, Jack?
Well, life's tough, Reggie. I ran into your friends, too, today. They shot me in the chest 6 times.
Well, you don't look bad for a dead person.
Well, I would be if it wasn't for one of these.
Hey, why'd you wear this anyway?
Well, I knew I was going to see you, Reg. Now, I wouldn't want to get killed by a stray bullet that was meant for you. Now, that'd be a hell of a way to go, wouldn't it be?
They're good, these actors. Murphy's latest movies have been such ghastly ego wallows that it's refreshing to see him play opposite someone like Nolte, who can hold the screen in his own right. He doesn't have much in the way of dialogue to work with, but Murphy gives a cooler, less self-adoring performance than we've seen from him in a long time. Nolte, meanwhile, does what he can with the wheezing clichés of renegade copdom, but there are moments when he seems just plain uncomfortable, when he looks as though he knows he's just playing straight man to a superstar. The director, Walter Hill, is a past master of He-Man bloodletting. He can film a shootout or a car chase faster and louder and with trickier angles than almost anybody in Hollywood. And in two of his scenes, a hotel showdown and a gunfight in the middle of a motorcycle race, he outdoes himself. Elsewhere, though, his stuff is all show and no tell. Crazy shots that confuse when they need to clarify. And a climax that's so full of flying glass and weird lighting and slow motion that you feel as though you're watching it from the bottom of a swimming pool. What's it all for? Another 48 hours means to give us a nasty good time, but nastiness isn't in and of itself fun. Not when it's unalleviated by humor, character, or diverting storytelling. This movie feels brutish and bloated and weary, as if it had OD'd on something. Most likely, testosterone.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.